Hey, you. Subscribe. You're watching Radio Free Cybertron. Hosted by Brian Kilby, with J.D. Church, John DeLuna, XV, Amy Morgan, and Rob Clay. For the latest Transformer news, reviews, and more, visit TFormers.com.
This is Radio Free Cybertron, episode 304, recorded March 27th, 2013. This is our last monthly third-party roundup. Never fear. Third-party stuff will be rolled back into the show proper.
Oh, sorry. darn.
Yeah.
It'll be a lot easier to keep track of, definitely.
Yes, it's going to be a little easier to keep track of. That's exactly the reason. Yeah, it's just becoming hard to go in and sort of squeeze out a show sometimes. Sometimes there's way too much. Sometimes there's not enough. So we're doing that. With me this week, we have J.D. Church.
Sorry.
Our pal, Headmaster Don.
Hey, buddy.
And Diecast is back.
Hey.
Yo.
Yay.
So, lots of stuff, sort of, going on this week. G.I. Joe Retaliation. Not really Transformers, but something much of us have been waiting for. Actually debuts this week. In fact, the show is recording early because I'm going to go see it tonight with my wife.
And I'll see it. Care about this movie.
Yeah, I do. Kim wants to see it, so it's pretty amazing that she wants to see it. After watching the first one, she watched and hated the first film.
Is that a guidepost for sanity, or what are we... I don't know. You've beaten her down enough that you've made it seem like she wants to go see this movie?
I don't... She wants to see it. I think because The Rock's in it or something.
Oh! Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's.
I don't know. He's funny. It'll be fun.
Well, I'm hoping the movie's successful because the Joe fans right now out there are hurting. I mean, they're hurting like we were back in those dark days, you know, pre-G2, you know.
Well, Donald, what I want you to do is hope in one hand and then think in the other and see which one it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know what's great though about the state of G.I. Joe? You can get the G.I. Joe 30th anniversary vehicles for like half price at Toys R Us.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, the good thing is that G.I. Joe stuff is cheap because and available.
Except for the new stuff, like at Toys R Us, it's like $10 a figure. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
But they're very available.
They are.
There's plenty of them on the shelves, as many as you want.
That's true.
Go get him.
But I'm excited about seeing the movie because I've wanted to see this for the last freaking year.
Ever since it was canceled.
Ever since it was supposed to come out and then didn't.
What's like,
do we want this movie to get a horrible beatdown to one of the best films of the year, or do we want it to get a horrible beatdown of something that comes out next year that really shouldn't beat it, but probably will.
What I want to see is I want to go to the theater tonight, and there'll be like a big sticker across that gigantic display that says March 2014. That would piss me off that much. An actual Transformers news. I'm not going to show it because we've shown these quite a bit, but if you haven't seen Generations Voyager, Springer, and Blitzwing, Hasbro has released new high-resolution photos of those. And you can see those at tformers.com.
You know, I don't mean to be grouchy, but the only thing that bugs me is that they don't have more pictures of the Blitzwing head gimmick. They only show one head. And it's kind of like, can we please get some decent pictures of, like, at least the different heads instead of just the one? Thanks.
Yeah. I would like to see more. Does that bother... I can see how, like, a G1 purist would say that the fact that he has the animated gimmick is, you know, like not true to the spirit of the toy. I don't feel that at all.
Don't use it.
That person doesn't have to buy it.
Well, they don't have to buy it. That's the whole thing. If you have optional heads, is that it's that word optional. Don't use it if you don't like it. That's fine. I mean, I'm not particularly tied to it one way or the other. It was kind of interesting the way they did it and animated.
It's a nice freebie.
Yeah, exactly. It's like it's an extra thing. It's not, you know.
If it were a masterpiece, I would be upset, but not with a classics toy.
Really?
It depends on how they did it. I mean, I think if they did it, if it was like head swaps, yeah, that's fine, you know. But if it was like a built-in head rotation and it really detracted from the toy itself, yeah, I'd get it. I'd be frustrated with a masterpiece like that too.
Because if they tried that, to me, I'm imagining a masterpiece Blitzwing with this gigantic dome like Manny faces and a big knob on top that you turned.
That would be awesome.
That would be insane and true.
We can put in like a Mechanex gimmick into that as well, and he could have like this, you know. Neck.
Oh my, extends all the way. Like,
was it Extendar? Was that the name of the guy that's arms like and legs went out like really far? What was his name?
Oh my god, that's probably true.
I think it was Brian, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's probably a thing.
Yeah. I want them to steal as many shitty G.I. or Masters Universe gimmicks and put them into Transformers as possible.
That would be epic.
Yeah, that would be great. Let's do that. I want flocked Transformers, by god. Block Transformers with like scent glands.
Oh my god! Can we get some with like? Can we get some with like the fur, like the fur, like what was it? Buzzoff had, like on the body.
Yeah. No, like flocked, like Mossman.
Yeah, but I thought Buzzoff had it too.
Buzzoff did not have fur.
Like a felt kind of thing.
Now I'm imagining a re-release of the mutants with lifelike scales and
not just lifelike, but let's get actual life. Let's skin small reptiles and use them as the body parts for the mutants. That would be amazing.
Yes, let's do that.
PETA would love it.
So did anyone watch the debut, like official debut of Beast Hunters yet?
Yes.
No.
I saw the movie Alan L.A. website.
Did you what did you guys think?
I liked it. I think they could have put all that in two episodes and gave us a third episode of more story development, but it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
As far as dragging everything out.
I really didn't watch it. So I think what I'll do is probably thoroughly watch it this weekend and maybe next week do like a spoilery version of it. Some people haven't seen it yet, but by next week, there is no excuse.
Well, I only saw the first episode, so I mean, nothing really happened yet. You know, I guess Don, you saw
the pirated version of it.
Well, the Singapore broadcast.
Hmm. I liked how they did.
Were
the
you
first
in Singapore
part.
When you watched that, Don?
Yes, Don.
My spirit was in Singapore.
Spirit
my butt was right here.
Yeah, he was on YouTube.
we'll watch the first episode next week, and we'll talk about the first episode next week and the second episode after. I am certain Amy and Nicole will actually have like a full real review, and I know they'll do like. I'm pretty sure they're doing a podcast version of it too. If not, you should because it's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, I'm a bad fan. I've said that before.
Yeah, I think I was playing Minecraft, and then I went, oh, that's on. Oh, well.
I think I was editing last week's podcast. I think that's what I was doing, honestly.
Well, I will say, without spoilers, the first episode really is just all set up on who's where doing what. There is some interesting developments in the two episodes yet to come, as far as who shows up and who does what. And
I will say without spoilers that in the first episode, Optimus Prime dies. But other than that, it's great.
There's a floppy disk backup. It's okay.
I really like Smokescreen's character. He really appeals to me because he doesn't do what he's supposed to most of the time, but most of the time he's doing what his heart tells him to do, and it works out anyway. There's only been a couple times where it ended up hurting the team, but I mean, I really like that about him. He's a very different character than the other ones.
And he's not quite the hot rod we thought he would be. He's hot rod, but a little more mellowed.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Yeah, I'll watch it. You know, I kind of owe myself and, like, the listeners that, because, for God's sakes, it's Transformers podcast. I kind of have to be up on those things.
And you bored us with, like, 5 minutes of G.I. Joe at the beginning of this podcast, so, yeah.
This is true.
It's no worse than that Minecraft conversation, J.D., that we've had on Superhero Time.
Hey, that's quality podcasting there, sir. Quality. You could learn things.
On a game I've never played, I'm learning things.
Yep, but you could play it. You
yeah,
should.
That's true. Speaking of games, two things, because we haven't had an episode of New Soundwave in a while. I really want the Hyperkin Retron 5. Look it up.
Was that English?
Yeah.
Hyperkin, which is a company that makes like retro-compatible consoles, the Retron 5. Look it up. And also Half-Life, not Half-Life.
Bioshock
Infinite came out yesterday. I have to get a new graphics card now. There you go.
That's good to know.
Yeah, want that. I will actually play through that after I finish War for Cybertron. Yes, War for Cybertron.
When you play that.
Yeah, when I play. I'm almost done, actually.
Oh, wow.
And then Fall of Cybertron.
And then Fall of Cybertron. Yeah. So, okay, I guess let's go ahead and take a break. We've got a few things going on. Rob Springer is back. So, you know, I'll be honest with you. People send us questions all the time, like via email, Twitter, you know, YouTube, Facebook. And I normally just respond to them directly. And I know people want to be responded to on the podcast because, you know, that's kind of the whole point. But I'm really bad about it because it's just something that you don't want to hear what I want to say. But Rob Springer is awesome. And Rob is taking questions. So you can actually reach out to Rob at rob@tfradio.net, or you can hit us up on our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio, or on Twitter at tfradio. Rob responds to a listener question this weekend. It's pretty awesome. I think you'll enjoy it. All that and more after this. We will be right back.
Hey guys, it's Rob. And this week we have a listener question to answer. Hey. David Polk from, he doesn't say where he's from, it sounds like he's from our YouTube area, says, hey, new fan of the YouTube show and y'all. I was wondering, do y'all think we will see any more Dinobots in the FOC line, and what do y'all think of seeing Dinobots in a Transformers 4 movie? And I would really love to know if third party or someone will do a Grimlock from the War for Cybertron DF's version as a figure. Please let me know on your YouTube show. Thanks. Well, David, thanks. First off, thanks for watching. We really appreciate you guys, be it the YouTube show or downloading us from iTunes or directly or however you enjoy us. We really appreciate it. Thanks for enjoying the show. And let's see. Do I think we'll see any more Dinobots in the FOC line? No. And that sucks, because I'd really like some. I really would. But I think the last time they attempted to do a full Dinobots team, and we only got three, was an animated. Maybe those mini-cons from Dark of the Moon time. You know, those are a team of Dinobots, but they weren't the Dinobots, per se. They were just other Dinobots. You know, there's Grimstone and his Dinobot drone things from the Powerful Combiners. Once again, he was just a Dinobot with some Dinobots. As far as the team Dinobots, like you're, I know what you're implying, probably not. And that, like I said, that sucks. That'd be cool. It would really be cool, especially since they're like kind of in a starring role right now in the comics, you know, and you know, the FOC video game, you know, kind of featured them. So it'd be really cool to see more than just Grimlock. But once again, Grimlock's a safe bet. And in this economy, no company's really going to make too many gambles. Which is sad, because I'd like to see some Kenny Rogers knowing the Holdem action going on. And there's my nose is squeaking. I don't know if the mic picked it up, but I was kind of like, what is that noise? But it'd really be great to say, roll the dice. Bam, there's all of them. And then bam, they're still sitting there on Walmart shelves. Turns out the kids really just wanted Bumblebee. Well, it would be really cool to see them, but yeah. from what all the stuff from Toy Fair and all that shows, probably not. Now, who knows, BotCon's around the corner, it could roll, they could show, hey, here's some more. And we'd all be like, and I would be like, and everyone would be like, until they get them, and like, some people are like, I think he's pretty good, and a lot of people are like, I think it's pretty crappy, and there's going to be people like, I think they're really good, and those guys are like, you're an apologist and elitist, and the guy likes this guy, can I just have my own opinion about you attacking me for having one? And everyone's like, no, because I'm the fastest. Of course, they wouldn't realize it. That's kind of how this goes, isn't it? You have a differing opinion, and you're the elitist. I digress. As far as seeing them in the Transformers 4 movie, man, that'd be awesome too, wouldn't it? But probably not again, because I don't think Michael Bay was really too keen on them, because Grimlock was brought up, I believe, for the first three. And I don't think he's that keen on them. And not just Michael Bay. I think that's kind of... I think he's been our dartboard, like, Michael Bay. I think some more people behind the scenes also probably aren't that keen on it. Which would be weird, because you figure Steven Spielberg, being the executive producer, obviously likes dinosaurs. So, yeah. I'm pretty sure the idea of him wouldn't be too beneath him. But at the same time, I think he's the one who had the idea of Bumblebee not talking. And if I remember reading the reports right, he didn't want any of them to talk. So it's like, maybe Steven Spielberg has some bad ideas. And now that I said that, I'd never have a career in Hollywood. Darn. But no, I'd really like to see him. Especially, you know, I think the only thing we really know of Transformers 4 is Mark Wahlberg and some people are going to be in it. And which would be great, you know, Mark Wahlberg like, hey, Grimlock, how you doing? Welcome to Boston. You know, say hi to your mother for him. You know, the Mark Wahlberg joke. Actually, it's a Michael Bay movie, and it's a Michael Bay Transformers movie. So there'll be like a lens glare. Everyone's going to be really orange. There's going to be an explosion, and that slow motion scene where something happens, like, and there'll be Grimlock. And you probably have like a Russian accent, talk really fast for some reason. Because, you know, let's be quirky. And a new Linkin Park song, you know, guys like, you know, one guy's like, yo, I'm sad. And the other guy's like, I'm sad. He's like, why are they so sad? They're millionaires. You know, it's like they've been, I mean, like 10 years ago, yeah, maybe, you know, just getting kind of used to it. But now it's like, what are you upset about? Did a store out of chips or something? So someone will be like, yo, they out of chips. And the guy's like, they're out of chips. And, you know, and it's going real slow in the glare. And he's like, say hi to your mother for me. And that's going to be a scene in the movie. I think I just spoiled Transformers 4 for you guys, to be honest with you. And at the end, you know, we get the Linkin Park song again, Optimus walks out. We did it again. To all my Autobot brethren, we're here, we're my protectors. Oops, stepped on someone. Say hi to your mother for me. And then, like, the logo's gonna flash, Transformers! And it's going, Linkin Park! Dude, I just wrote Transformers 4. Maybe Mark Wahlberg will have scenes of him built over something because, you know, it's a new direction. Maybe we'll have sexist scenes of him instead of someone else. You know, Michael Bay really is a one-note trick pony, isn't he? Boy, Michael Bay is a sexist. What a jerk. Anyway. To continue your awesome multi-part question, I would really love to know if a third party of someone will do a Grimlock version, DF War for Cybertron DF version as a figure. I like how he says a third party of someone. Not necessarily a Transformers third party. Like, third party. So it's going to be some dude in his basement making, like, unofficial Big Macs. And he's calling them, like, King Burgers. You know, like, he's got something like, of course, you know, lately these third-party guys are coming up with crazy names. Or they always have, like, what the hell is a hegemon anyway? But he was calling it, like, it's called, like, Bone Riddle or something, and it's an unofficial Big Mac. And some people swear it's better. And some people are like, I only like the real McDonald's. Those guys are like, well, you're elitist. And, you know, it's like when the Big Mac from McDonald's has a burnt bun, it's like, well, you know, it was an accident, you know, and the guy's like, you're an apologist! And the guy, but when it's the guy in his garage, his bone killer sandwich or whatever, they're like, hey, it's all official. I'm being an elitist. And the guy's like, this is why I like the original. There's a bunch of D-bags in this fandom, aren't they? Let someone have their own opinion, for God's sakes. You mind controllers. You know, they'd be like, it's okay, they're unofficial. They don't have appropriate toasters. Why is this burger $70? The McDonald's one is $2. And it has quality control. I've been up all night. I'm sorry. It's good to know I'm not the only fan of the War for Cybertron DS version. I think I actually like that quite a bit better than the Xbox and PlayStation version. I'm not saying they're bad games. That was a really great game, but I had so much fun with that DS version. I don't know. Maybe it's just me being a lunatic. Obviously, I just went on a rant about third-party hamburgers. But, but before I go on, I don't care if you buy a third-party crap. It's your money. But a lot of people glazed over that a lot of characters were in that DS version that's not in the Xbox version. So much that when people were like, hey, they're finally putting Grimlock in these games. And a lot of us were like, he was in the DS version. And they're like, that doesn't count. Why? Because he didn't own it? Somehow that didn't count. But anyway, it would be cool because, as those of you who don't know, he was in a Cybertronian mode. And before you say it, because, you know, it kind of stopped in my mind, too, and I had to look at a picture to remind myself, it wasn't the fall worst. There's too many prequels, damn it. The War Within design, because I was like, hey, didn't they do the Titanium War Within version? Wouldn't that be it? I was like, no, wait, it was a different design. It wasn't really better or worse. It was just kind of another Cybertronian Grimlock's a tank design. But it was a nice, another Grimlock's just a tank design. And it looked good. And like you're saying, yeah, that'd make a great figure. That'd make a cool figure. Then, especially if one of these guys that really do a good job, like Fans Project. And that's the only name because there's so many of them, I can't remember their names. But, you know, the guys that really do a good job with the sculpting did it. You know, that would be a cool figure. However, and I'm sorry I keep saying no to you, dude, I really don't see it. I really don't. Because these third-party guys like to go with the safe bets. You know, they make, like, 4 Devastators and 5 Predakings. And, you know, one gambled and made Superion. What I'm saying is they kind of make the ones that are, you know, like Warbot, that's Springer, you know. I mean, they're just now kind of, you know, like the Throttlebots and all. And like Broadside, but they're still making guys that are on the cartoon. I think the Headmasters might be the biggest gamble because not that many people even know the Headmasters happened. You know, like there's people that are like, I love Transformers, I love G1. What's the rebirth? Why do you keep saying that? You know, it's people, you know, it was a miniseries, people missed it, or they might not even know about the Headmasters stuff. I'm talking about, of course, newer fans or more casual fans that are kind of getting back into the hobby or enjoying this stuff more. But like I was saying, they don't really kind of take too much of a gamble. There's probably not going to be a Big Daddy. A super articulated, perfectly done, $5,000, can only get it through one source, Big Daddy. They're probably not going to do that. They're probably not. But, so that's what I was saying. But I could see them making a improved Grimlock, like from his Dinosaur design. Dinosaur. Basically his Fall of Cybertron design, because not a lot of people are happy with that toy. So maybe I could see him maybe taking that on. I really could. Well, that's me. And if you guys got any more questions, send them in. I'll answer them in a roundabout way that probably doesn't answer your questions whatsoever. And, hey, back to you guys.
Warning. The following segment may contain spoilers for the most recent Transformers comic books. So, we were really impressed with More Than Meets the Eye last week.
Mm-hmm.
But this week we have Robots in Disguise instead.
Yeah.
You know, against all reason, both of us have really been enjoying Robots in Disguise so far. I mean, you wouldn't think beyond the novelty concept of the setting that the robot politics book would be that good, but I mean, there's something about it. I think part of it's just the way certain characters are portrayed. Starscream gets brought up a lot in how he's written, and I mean, he's kind of like an opposite side of how Starscream is in Transformers Prime, which is another case of Starscream that I really like. But, I mean, even once the novelty wore off, the book's been going really strong up until this point.
Yeah, I think it's kind of interesting that the robot politics book has fallen down a bit when we get to the actual war between the Autobots and Decepticons and shooting action. This is where the Transformers comic is not at its strongest, and that is really fascinating.
What world are we living in?
Seriously.
Yeah, so the one of the two Transformers ongoing titles is weakest when it's talking about the war.
Mm-hmm.
And it's at strength when it's a political drama.
Mm-hmm.
The sky, it is purple.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, the strongest parts of this issue are the character parts, are when we hear about, you know, RC's motivation and Prowl's monologue and all of these things. And just something there was something about the bit with Jazz at the beginning, that Jazz and Skybite, that I really just kind of liked. There's just that there something about, you know, Jazz's little thing about I'm nothing but a stone cold killer. There's such a little bit of regret there that, you know, it's just, again, all the character bits are interesting. It's the fact that when we start this book, we get, and when we finish this book, other than a little bit of character information, we have not actually advanced the plot any.
Right. I mean, this is very much a bridge between last issue, which basically paid off one cliffhanger while setting up another one, and next issue, which resolves the cliffhanger from last issue, I hope.
Yeah. The the preview for the next issue is labeled Final Battle, so I hope they are serious. This storyline is already verging on too long, and it needs to move along at this point.
I'm not really sure what they were hoping to accomplish with this issue, honestly, because I mean there's character moments in it, but not a lot of it, and it doesn't seem like what we got in this issue really should have taken up the whole issue.
Yeah, I kind of would have liked what Prowl's monologue really should have been is a text piece in the back of the trade paperback of this, because unfortunately, trying to pace the entire book around that to get Prowl's perspective on that after the Prowl we've gotten for most of this book and most of this series so far not actually having been Prowl,
you know,
it's important information, but it is bringing the plot to a grinding halt. This should have been something, like I said, in the back of a trade paperback or in the quiet time after all this is over with. This was really kind of the wrong time for this. It's kind of dragging things out, and it, you know, basically the point at which Prowl's will is completely overpowered by the five Constructicons should have been the middle point of this book, and we should have been to whatever the conclusion is by the end of this book.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of think it's just a case of editing failure more than anything. It's like that John Barber really wanted to hang on to this Prowl material, and so the whole story is kind of distorting itself around that to make sure it stays in and gets across what he wants to get across. And it's not bad information, and it's interesting to read, but I don't think it was necessary right now.
I wonder if the same information couldn't have been carried over in one or two pages at the very start of this issue.
Quite possibly.
Because, I mean,
I could see it being structured in such a way that you go through that, and then that leads into the rest of the book as we got it, plus something a little more conclusive than what we got at the end of this. Because this, it's... I can't even think of what example to use, but the end of the book where Devastator rips Superion in half, which is just ridiculous in its own right. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they spent the last page of issue 14 making it look like Ironhide, the Dinobots, and Superion were going to be what comes in and saves the day, and now Superion's pretty much out of the picture.
Yeah.
Which, you know, makes that whole... The whole setup of Superion from issues back feel like a completely wasted plot element.
Yeah, unless Superion somehow pulls himself together next issue, which, you know, combiner, pull him apart, put him back together, maybe.
Maybe.
But, yeah, it's kind of, it is a little bit anticlimactic, and worse yet, it actually retroactively weakens 14 a little bit, and 14 was such a good issue that that's mm-hmm. really a shame.
One new bit of information that 15 gave us was that Devastator now is built completely modular, where any number of Decepticons could form any part of the combiner. And from the way the dialogue is structured, it sounds like Megatron intends to eventually be part of that.
And I'm kind of hoping that when that is resolved, it would be interesting if he found out his will is not as strong as he thought it was.
And that seems to be where it's going. You know, Megatron's going to try to combine into Devastator at some point in this, and he's going to get completely consumed into it the same way Prowl has been this issue. And either that's what's going to get rid of Megatron for a while again, or... Yeah, I mean, it's either going to completely destroy Megatron's mind for a while, like apparently happened to the components of Monstructor,
mm-hmm.
or Megatron's just going to basically get scrapped down again and won't be an issue.
Yeah, one of those sounds about right. Although there is the, you know, unresolved issue of where Shockwave is all of a sudden and what's up with that, that I have a feeling we'll get pulled into this sometime next issue.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like Shockwave was probably involved in reconstructing Megatron's body to be able to do the combiner thing, so he will probably show up at the instrumental moment to say, your will was never strong enough to do this, I'm just doing this to get you out of the way.
That wouldn't surprise me.
To make way for whatever G-Axis is up to.
Yeah.
Which probably means that in another couple of issues, we're going to get an additional installment of Syndromica.
Okay.
I would guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we're actually a little bit overdue for it. Although, not to knock Livia Remondelli too much, but it's so hard to follow the art in those issues.
Yeah.
I'd really like to see him doing coloring over someone else's art that might have a little bit better structure.
Yeah.
Because I like that painted style. It's just... Everything is so jumbled and muddied.
I have encountered in comics before, particularly I complained bitterly about the whole Penny Arcade Lookouts thing years ago. Their first take at that had some of their illustrator friends working on that. Mm. Illustrators and comic artists are completely separate
not the
disciplines.
Same thing.
Yeah. And they do not always cross over very well. It takes a really talented person who is one or the other to jump into the other without a lot of advanced prep and trial and error. And
yeah.
Unfortunately, and of course, you know, the trick is that in this medium, you always have an audience to your trial and error.
Mm-hmm. I mean, art's nothing to complain about with issue 15. I think that's one of the strengths of it, honestly.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, I wish more would have happened to take advantage of it.
Yeah. Like I said, I think just the pacing has been thrown because this is something that was really important to John Barber to be in here. Mm-hmm. And I've got the right writer, right? I'm not getting them.
Yeah, you have the right one.
Oh, good.
John Barber's on this book. James Roberts is on the other one.
Yay. Okay.
And we both know where Furman is.
Yes, we do. And unfortunately, writing-wise, this feels more like Furman than it does Roberts or Barber in a way, because it starts on an okay spot, but it doesn't stop in the right place. And, you know, serializing these things is difficult, and if you're trying to squeeze in every little moment that is important to you as a writer, as opposed to figuring out where the story itself needs to start and stop, it gets messy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, reading this felt like reading an issue of Regeneration 1, which unfortunately is not a compliment.
Yeah, a particularly good issue of Regeneration 1, but not as strong as we're used to this book being.
Right, well, yeah, okay. I mean, reading this, I see the same faults that I attribute to Regeneration 1. It's still stronger in concept and on a technical level execution. It's just, it's not doing everything it could be from what we've come to expect of this title.
Yeah.
If you want the long-winded version.
Well, yeah.
Radio Free Cybertron will return after these messages. America's number one superhero team explodes on the home video screen in their very first major motion picture blockbuster, G.I. Joe the Movie. Premiering exclusively on home video, this brand new multi-billion dollar film extravaganza is a masterpiece in mind-blowing animation techniques that make this feature unlike any G.I. Joe you've ever seen. Along with all the regular G.I. Joe superhero favorites, this high-gloss spectacle introduces a whole new cast of kinetic characters that are sure to be a hit with kids across the country.
You have nothing to fear but Falcon himself.
Miami Vice super cop Don Johnson stars as the voice of Lieutenant Falcon, the playboy whose shenanigans land him in the slaughterhouse.
I've been expecting you.
Ruled by who else but that patriotic pain? The incredibly awesome Sergeant Slaughter.
You're going to war till you wish you were dead.
Then it's off to Cobra Land, where the terrifying Golobulus, brilliantly voiced by Burgess Meredith, reveals his plan to destroy the minds of every human on Earth.
This pitiful planet will be ours.
Now, right in their own homes, kids everywhere can see if G.I. Joe can still save the day in this high-budget, high-voltage film showcase of their all-time favorite superheroes.
And this is for the U.S. Army!
Fasten your seatbelt for the supercharged motion picture debut of G.I. Joe the Movie. We now return to Radio Free Cybertron. Radio Free Cybertron is filmed in front of a live studio audience.
The Ninja Consultants at Shaw.
He's on my desk. I've got him with me now.
We are back. No Transformers Rewind this week. I didn't mention that. We will be back probably week after next, which will be episode 306. We have several episodes in the queue, but they are not ready yet. So this is the last third-party roundup that we're doing. Like I said at the top of the show, we are just... yeah, I know. We're just rolling all of this into the regular show.
Bye, third-party roundup.
I think it just works out better that way. But we have lots of great stuff. If you listened to the show last week, if you watched the show, JD and I had a conversation about Masterpiece cassettes. Specifically, JD?
We were talking about Squawk Talk Beast Box, the combiner. The combiner cassettes, you know, the Gorilla and Falcon thing that combined. And it was funny because, like, earlier, like, almost right after that, I think it was, that this third-party CST-03 and 04 box bomber set of B-Box and Bird bomber were shown off. And they're basically Masterpiece-style cassettes.
And it's $35. I don't think that's that crazy.
No, it's super affordable. I mean, that's cheaper than the two packs of the Masterpiece.
Yeah.
You know, cassettes. Now, I don't have much of a sense of scale because these are all renders. They're not the actual figure. So I don't know if these are.
I'm assuming they're going to be
Masterpiece scale.
I'm assuming they have to be Masterpiece scale.
They'll be the same size. Yeah.
But it's like, it was like prophetic. It was like, oh, you want these? Well, here they are.
That's just awesome.
Yeah.
Well, the good thing is, you know, if you went to go get a Squawk Talking Beast Box original G1 with the weapons, it would probably cost you $20 to $25, and that's if the chrome on the weapons wasn't completely gone.
Yeah.
So, you know, this way you get a Masterpiece level transformation, but personally, I'm hoping they do Grand Slam and Rain Dance.
I had both combiners and I sold them both, and I think I only got like $25 or $30 for them. That was like when the market was high.
I think we've established that you're really bad at selling stuff on eBay, though.
I know.
How much did you sell that boxed hardhead for?
$28.
Uh-huh. Ow!
How much did I sell mine for without the box?
More than that.
70? Okay. So, you know, but yeah, I imagine that they will. I mean, they did this Ramhorn. I think the thing I love, though, is that it's Keith's Fantasy Club, and the logo for it is a complete KFC, like, ripoff, and I'm like, wow! They're trying to infringe on two copyrights. That's amazing.
Hey, if you're going to go, might as well go big.
Heck yeah, man.
That's kind of like Anonymous or something. How can you sue them? They probably don't really exist.
Yeah. I mean, they don't really have a storefront. Yeah. But if you haven't seen their logo, you should look it up. It's amazing.
But I'll tell you, I'm not sure about y'all, but I'm hoping if they're doing combining cassettes and these turn out as good as they could possibly be, the early cassettes that combined from the Japanese line, Four Dinosaurs.
Oh, yeah.
And I I'm not
the gauntlet. All right, Keith.
I'll tell you what I'm waiting for. Who's doing the Shockwave figure, the Masterpiece Shockwave figure.
Is it Mastermind? No.
No, it's it's in
PF fans want it.
Yeah, whatever. It's their first figure, and it's getting great reviews. I was actually supposed to have it, but Sidecutter is apparently buried in boxes. So as soon as he unburies himself and ships all those boxes out, I'll actually get mine. But their rumored next figure is a blaster, a Masterpiece blaster. So all these cassettes keep coming out. They're going to pump out some Masterpiece blaster figures, I'm sure, and beat Takara to the punch.
Mm. Yeah, let me go ahead and pre-order this while I'm sitting here. just move along.
Yeah, that's for April, too. I mean, that's gonna be out really quick, too.
The thing, though, is with the Autobot cassettes, you've only really got the four. Well, actually, if you go into the Japanese, you can add another four, I believe, from Japan, but...
Well, I mean, but still, I mean, if they did a really nice... In particular, if you're talking about four, you know, stuff that are for collectors and fans and stuff, I mean, this is a great time to be making Rewind figures, you know?
Yeah,
like I mean, that character is hugely popular in World Meets the Eye. So, yeah.
It's Fans Toys that's making the Quake Wave figure, which is the Shockwave Masterpiece. originally they were supposed to do a Soundwave masterpiece, and they announced it, and then Takara said that, oh no, we're doing that. So they canceled it, and then they brought out Quakewave, and now their rumored next figure is going to be a blaster and beat Hasbro to the, or beat Takara to the punch. I don't know which one, Takara, Hasbro.
I'm hoping that they're not trying, oh, we're going to beat them to the punch. It's more like, oh, well, they're not servicing the fans by creating a blaster. Let's go ahead and do one ourselves. I mean, if they're out there just trying to, you know, beat them to the punch, that's, I think that's a pretty quick way to get a lawsuit and, you know,
well, be sued out of existence. Well, that's true, Brian, but it could be something else that I think we've all brought up at one point or the other. If having a blaster would mean too much original mold and tooling for their comfort level right now, since we're getting all these repaintable figures, they may say, hey, let these guys make their blaster. They do all the money. They do all the work. They do all that. And we'll just do one on down the road when it's more profitable for us. So that may work out for Takara's favor.
I don't see how it would work out for their favor.
Mm.
But I don't think they probably don't care.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's more to the point. I don't think they're really watching the, you know, the boards and stuff to see, ooh, we got to beat a third party.
Now what I wonder about is, and we could find out this answer. You know, people, designers at Takara, designers at Hasbro, or a lot of them are actually fans of the Transformers. I mean, that's why they do what they do. I wonder how many of those people actually buy third party stuff.
Ooh,
they can't tell you.
Yeah, they can't say that at all.
Yeah.
Mm. I remember a rumor that there was a Hasbro designer and a picture on his Facebook page showed him having a third-party product on his desk, and then he was let go not long after that.
Disappeared.
I don't know if they...
Was never heard from again.
I don't know. Yeah. I think termination for that would be kind of a stretch, but, you know, definitely a stern talking to would probably be in order.
He's gone.
Yeah. Next up in the third party roundup, we have the Master Shooter Collectibles released production and package images of their not Target Master figures. I pre-ordered these immediately.
Where are they? Do you have a link?
Big Bad Toy Store.
Master Shooters.
I did not see
those yet.
Yeah. You know, Brian, I want these so bad to make my classic characters. Target Masters.
I know.
But the price is just a little much for me.
You know,
But they look awesome.
They do. $45 I got the 4-pack, the core assortment, which is basically the not Thunderbolt or whatever his name is. Well, so they're called Bolt Action Minute Bot Shot Piece, and I can't read that. The purple is kind of funny. It looks like Baboom or Broomstick.
Broomstick.
Totally have these pre-ordered. I picked up the, what was it? It wasn't Perfect Effects. It was the one that was released, oh god, a couple of years ago. What was the first third party Target Master figure that actually made the it was like PFX01 or something.
Oh.
Yeah, I remember
then.
I remember their early cassettes all had a Target Master mode.
Yeah. I think it was Firebolt, just like this one is, but it was different. It was
Sidearm.
Yes, that's
yeah.
Sidearm.
It came with the protector armor from Fans Project.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a bonus on.
And you could get it separate.
Yeah, I think they sold it. Did they do that? Was that the Tsunami thing that they did? The Didn't they have like that as a special figure you could buy as, and they would donate to the tsunami?
Yeah, I have it somewhere. I think it was Firebolt. Was it?
Yeah, I mean that's who it was supposed to be.
Yeah, and the tsunami one was called Blesser. And yeah, it was a color version.
Correct. Yep. Yep. Okay. Yay, Brain!
Yay, Brain!
It works.
Yes.
It works.
But no, I like this. This is something that can go well with basically any figure, and I just think it's a great idea. And this is something that doesn't take away the value of another toy.
Yeah. In fact, it's one of those. It's more like an add-on in the sense that it adds to the value of an existing toy.
And it's not like one that's so specific to a toy that you have to get something that came out 3 years ago to do it.
No, I mean, some of them are sort of designed around those, the target, the what would have been the re-up target masters, Scourge and Hotshot, whatever, not Hotshot, Hot Rod. Cup, yep.
But that's fine.
Yeah, but you can give one to Drift if you wanted to.
Okay. You can still get a cup at Toys R Us, so, I mean...
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
but those are pretty cool. I like those. And last up in the third-party roundup this month, pretty much my favorite thing ever, the NW05 Dune Raker and NW6 Cogs packaging... basically preview shots, preview photos. They look pretty amazing.
They're pretty groovy, man.
Yeah, I know.
They
yeah.
are pretty groovy.
Especially, of course, Dunraker, because, of course, he's dropped some acid or smoked some pot or something, and he's all tie-dyed.
He's, like, psychedelic, man.
I mean, Cogs looks amazing, not Gears, so I'm super stoked about that. The box, not so much. But the fact that we have these pre-production... photos of the box means that we're getting pretty close, and I just really freaking want that toy.
I pre-ordered Swerve, but not Swerve. What is it? Not Swerve. It's
Veer.
Veer. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I pre-ordered that one. I figured same body, but I wanted the Well, it meets the eye character, really. So, yeah.
I need to go pre-order those now, too. Let me do that now.
Are these the ones that are at the $70 price point? Or
these are
they... 40.
These are 40 now.
Yeah.
40? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were like at $20, and that was like the best price point ever.
Yeah, I'm kind of bummed that the Knot Pipes is not available anymore.
Yeah.
That was a exclusive, wasn't it?
It was both available. Well, you can still get it, but you have to buy that crappy green seed spray knot figure, and I don't want that. The individual packs of those are sold out. At least they're sold out at Big Bad Toy Store.
I need to see if I guess I got to get UFO. I never got UFO.
Unless Brian wants that green seed thing, and I can sell him that part. And
I've got, is it spray?
Yeah, or whatever.
I've got it. It's a decent toy.
Cool. Do you want the green one?
No.
Dang it.
Hey, Brian, another thing I saw when I was before the show is there's the Guilty G04 Hunger Classic Secret Weapon Upgrade Kit. Apparently, it gives you more accurate weapons for all of the classic Seeker molds, especially if you just recently purchased the Asia sets.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. I saw that. That was pretty cool.
I mean, that's like $35, and you get weapons and missiles for Starscream, Skywarp, Thundercracker, and the Coneheads.
Wow.
And also Acid Storm gets Neon gets the same set.
Hmm.
So I thought that was...
Oh, I'm sorry. So Cogs is $55 on Big Bad Toy Store, and he's sold out.
Did it already ship?
It's the pre-order.
Wow.
Sold out.
Wow.
You know, thinking about that, we ought to get Acid Storm and Beachcomber together.
Yeah. They could be the best of friends.
It would be.
Beachcomber could drop him.
Yep.
Eventually.
Oh, man, you're dropping Acid Storm.
Yeah.
Totally.
I still say that Masterpiece Acid Storm, if those colors are right, that's going to be an awesome figure.
Oh, it looks great.
Yeah. Awesome is the word I was thinking.
Yeah, I want it.
Is it?
So, I'm excited about Fort Max. Did you see the pictures of the sticker sheet?
I didn't see the sticker sheet. So,
sorry.
So I guess they're not. Wasn't there some instances of reissues when they were just having the stickers tampographed on? I know most of the time that there's actually been a sticker sheet, but in some cases there were some tampographing, wasn't there?
I don't remember
like putting stickers on, say, the most recent release of Sound Blaster. Or like when I got Sound Blaster and Twin Cast, I don't remember putting stickers on them.
I didn't get them.
I don't know. I'm one of the few fans that really just doesn't like putting stickers on toys. Because I always screw it up.
Well, that's me.
Go ahead, Don.
sorry. Cat on laptop. Sorry. Yeah, that's me, Brian. Because the most I'll ever put on is a Autobot or Decepticon sticker, and maybe if there's a racing stripe that you've got to have for it to look complete. But other than that, I don't do stickers either.
Do you have a link for the sticker sheet? I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I'll put it in the chat. It's
Can you put it in Skype too? Then I have the chat.
Oh, okay. It's going to be definitely a whole day. You know, a good half a day worth of stickering.
Hmm. I was going to get this, but I don't think I am. So, holy hell. Wow.
I still have my original Fortress Maximus instruction sticker sheet, and all that's missing is the Autobot symbol. Everything else is still on the sheet.
Yeah, that's a lot of stickers. Screw that.
If my card is full, they won't actually charge it, probably.
No, they won't.
Send me the figure, I guess.
I have a prepaid card that I use for internet purchases, and if whenever something is ready to go, I'll load money on it. That way, I don't worry about being, you know, fun-pubbed and having something taken. Yeah, I started doing prepaid. I'm using the American Express Bluebird card since I can load it without having to pay extra money to load it. That works pretty great.
We started carrying those at Walmart not long ago.
Well, that's who it's through. It's Walmart and American Express. Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I have BBTS, TF Source, everybody through that, or PayPal. PayPal is also a similar, you know, type service. So, works great. Okay, let's see here. You know, actually, I mentioned it before, but you can follow us on Twitter at TF Radio or join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/TF Radio. It's pretty sweet. If you're not, you really need to, because it's, you know, it you'll feel faster, stronger, more alive.
No, Brian, we don't want to make any Nucleon references. We want people to come to the show, not run away from the show.
I thought that was going to be I thought that was going to be a Daft Punk reference, but
yeah,
no, I know it wasn't.
Yeah, that was.
If the Action Master related is bad.
The action is alive. Yeah. That's exactly what you're going to find at our Facebook fan page.
Yeah, it totally says that.
I'll go and say that. Also, we are apparently we're on Tumblr. Somebody updates that. It's probably me. But the kids are apparently all on Tumblr these days. Apparently that's the hip place to be.
With their bronies and their slash fiction and.
Yeah, I don't quite get that, but we're there too, and I don't actually know how to get to us. But we're on Pinterest. I think I need to get Rob Springer. Well, Rob Springer is big on Pinterest. I think the question is,
why are we on Pinterest?
I don't know, but Rob Springer is like huge into Pinterest. I need to get him to like manage the page. Rob Springer,
I didn't realize we had recipes.
Oh no! It's Oh God, there's all Pinterest isn't about like Transformers and girls. That's all, like, that's all I ever see on,
like,
Pinterest.
Reel in, like, you know, yeah.
But seriously, if you, I'm just throwing a plug out there. If you are not following Rob Springer on every single social network that you're a member of, you're denying yourself the best part of life.
You're probably missing out on a third of the experience of being on a social network.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. But yeah. JD, what happened on Fanboy Versus this past weekend?
There was no Chris McFeely, so we had a terrible show.
What? Why was there no Chris McFeely?
I don't know. He had a thing.
XV scared him away.
Must be.
Did Ken fill in for him?
No. It was just the three of us. I tried to talk about the news. We had a discussion about some of the revolving door creators over at DC. So you can listen to that. And we actually did talk about More Than Meets the Eye. We talked about that at the end of the show. So there's a beautifully spoilery discussion of More Than Meets the Eye, the most recent issue, at the end of that show. So if you want to hear a discussion of it, you can do that.
Sweet. Okay, awesome.
See, JD, if you were a fair and balanced podcast, you'd be covering Regeneration 1.
Oh, God.
But then we'd have to read Regeneration 1, and that would be sad.
I wouldn't say that's a bad thing, but I would say that if you mentioned Regeneration 1, it would sort of fall outside the purview of your show, which is right. Like to talk about things you really love or really hate.
Right. And rarely do we really hate something.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's that.
Like the opposite of like love is to hate, it's like indifference.
Mm-hmm. And we're indifferent to a lot.
Yes. That's true.
So
okay, well, I guess that's pretty much it. We actually, if people watching live are people who are just curious, we started the show early this week, the live part, so that I could go see G.I. Joe Retaliation, the 10 o'clock showing.
Don't fall asleep, Brian.
I'm not.
Kind of beat.
I'm excited. I'm totally excited. I've been looking forward to this movie for like a year and a half. Even though I've seen the first movie, and I like laughed and trolled and like yelled at it like in the theater, and nobody seemed to care. It was pretty great.
I'm not a big Joe fan. It's just something that never interested me, but I didn't hate the first movie. I can see why some of the purists didn't care for it, but
I would just say the fact that it's a terrible movie is probably the main reason.
It had Christopher Eccleston in it. To me, that redeems a lot of the issues.
Yeah, that didn't do a thing for me.
Well, come on.
But what? Yeah. Hey, Massey is a very cute cat. Okay, so that's it for the show this week. Diecast, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Don?
No problem.
And JD, thank you for wearing clothes.
Well, I wore some.
Yeah, we'll see you next week. Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
You take care. Have a good Easter.
This has been Radio Free Cybertron. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2012 TF Radio Network.